Open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, and just park there for a minute. I believe the scriptures will be displayed on the wall for you, make things a little easier. I want to mention a couple of weeks ago, maybe it was on a Wednesday, I gave a message, and it was about avoiding destructive distractions. And we were learning on waiting on the Lord and being understanding there's distractions in life and there's speed bumps on the road in our walk and what have you. And we kind of used an analogy of driving and like being on a freeway sometimes, and then you come across a speed bump doesn't belong. But that happens in life sometimes. And I want to continue that theme today, this morning. I want to continue somewhat that theme with three easy-to-remember rules or tips or keys, if you will. And they're easy because they all begin with the letter R. So that should make things a little easy to remember. And as we try and focus on how to improve, how to continue in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, I want people saved. I want to see people turn their lives over to the Lord. That's our goal in life as believers. You know, and also throughout the years, I want to see in my heart is to assist people, to help people to avoid all the drama in their lives, to remove things from their lives so their walk is enjoyable, so that they can enjoy their walk and enjoy the things that the Lord has for them and be able to deal with the tough things that they have in their lives. So I want to help people simplify life, if you will, just to avoid sin overall. And this morning, looking at ways to or keys to better our walk or to be consistent in our walk, and we'll go through them. A couple of things I want to review. A couple of verses that I'd like to review, and they may not be on the board, but Luke 2:40. We talked about Jesus Christ and his public ministry. It was about when he was 30 years old. And and as a young child, I pointed out in Luke 2:40 that it says in the scriptures that the child, Jesus, continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. It says he continued to grow, and I pointed out that the Greek tense infers that it's he grew daily. And I pointed that out for us to know that he is our ultimate example. And we need to be growing daily. And in Luke 2:52, speaks again of the young Jesus, and it says, and Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and men. And to keep increasing, it says, kept increasing, in other words, to make progress. Jesus, as a young man, a young boy, continued to make progress. He continued to advance. By the power of the Spirit, he continued to mature and grow. And I use that as an example as to that should be our goal. Daily to be advancing in our walks, growing in our walks, and to know that we will be different a year from now, 5 years from now. How many of you have gone on job interviews? You're sitting there in the job interview and you're studied up as to the role or the position you want, what to expect. You know some of the history of the company probably, or the city, or whatever it is that you're applying for. And they ask that one question that says, how do you see yourself in 5 years? Or what do you see yourself doing in 5 years? They want to know how you're going to benefit them in 5 years. Are you looking that far in advance? We too, Christian, in our Christian walk, should be doing the same thing. We could reverse it and say, where were we 5 years ago? Have I grown? Have I increased? Have I advanced in my walk since in the past 5 years? The answer should be absolutely, absolutely. And sometimes it's tough growth because of trials that we have to deal with, things we have to go through. But in looking forward, in helping with our Christian walk, is in 5 years, how do we see ourselves? What role in ministry will we be involved in? How will we be treating others in 5 years? You know, I gave a similar message like this to the high schoolers last week. And this here is the long version. If you're a teen and you were up there in a high school group, you're probably saying like, wow, I thought the last one was long. I kind of want to see what this one's going to be. But I talked with them and I try to encourage them in their youth because the scriptures we're going to look at speak specifically about our young life or being in when we're in our young years. But I advise the teens to slow down during these crucial years of their lives. And much like Christ, he grew daily. And for them to grow daily and not expect to just be changed overnight or expect to be mature the next day and to avoid making mistakes along the way. I told them to proceed with caution, not fear, but with caution. And a couple weeks ago, we used an example of course, driving and what have you and avoiding the distractions and not taking our eyes off the road and how dangerous that is. Not only for yourself, but for others around you, those in your life. And I quoted someone said, drive slow and enjoy the scenery. Drive fast and join the scenery. We need to slow down oftentimes and be careful. We have to know that you might say you're a cautious driver, and I always encourage my children to drive defensively. Always assume that that person is going to do something that he probably shouldn't do. We need to be careful. And some people could say, well, I'm a very cautious driver. And they'll define it this way. They'll say, a careful driver is one who honks his horn when he goes through a red light. And we have to avoid that. We're not taking life that way. We're not taking it for granted. We're not just going forward and thinking, well, I'll say sorry later. I'll repent of this later. And so in order for us to keep things in focus and perspective and to maintain our Christian walk, there's these three R's I want to discuss in the scriptures. And if you would, we'll begin in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 9. And of course, Ecclesiastes, everything points to Solomon being the author here. And Solomon had great wisdom. So in reading things that Solomon wrote, we need to pay very close attention. And we need to share these with our children and people that we know in our lives. And so here we have to understand that the book is speaking of the vanities of life and how fleeting life is, how quick life can pass. And there's something interesting here in verse 9, beginning at verse 9, that gives us will help us to have a proper balance in enjoying the things of life. We do have to enjoy life. Otherwise, we'd be most miserable. But there's a balance that the author keeps here. And if we begin in verse 9, I want you to read. It says, rejoice. Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood. Now, stop right there. This is the first R I want to bring to your attention, to rejoice. In our Christian lives, in our walks, we need to learn to rejoice. There's much to rejoice about. And some may have the response of, you know what, you don't know my life. I have very little to rejoice about. But I'll tell you, in this life, there's much to rejoice about. In fact, speaking of this verse here, this young man, during your childhood, rejoice. There's a lot of things in life to appreciate, to slow down and enjoy. But of course, in Philippians 4:4, I want to tell you what the Bible has to say about rejoicing. In Philippians 4:4, the scriptures say, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. We're commanded to rejoice. It's not a suggestion. We're commanded to rejoice because there's great things. God is great and he can be rejoiced in. In Psalm 118, verse 24, it says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day to rejoice. Not tomorrow. Perhaps things will get better and I'll rejoice tomorrow. Well, God's allowed this in my life right now and I'm not too happy with him. Maybe if it changes or he eases up on me, I'll rejoice more tomorrow. Oh, I'm rejoicing this much today, but maybe more tomorrow. Tomorrow is not promised. We may not have a chance tomorrow to recognize God, to have that walk with God tomorrow. So we need to understand when we woke up this morning that we were to wake up and rejoice and see our family members, knowing that we're going to see our extended family here in service, hear the words being preached, worship our Creator. And we need to understand that when we wake up, there's much to rejoice. God has done many great things. He allows certain things in our lives as well. And sometimes we learn to rejoice about those after, or maybe more so when we see the outcome. You know, last night I was up here in the building, I don't know, maybe around 8:30 or so. And while I'm gathering these scriptures, these specific verses on rejoicing, thinking in my heart, I want to convey the message, man, we serve an incredible God. Let's rejoice together. If you're having tough times, rejoice. Life can really throw curveballs. And life can be very tough. Trials could just be, we can't imagine how it's going to end right or in a way that I can rejoice. So I'm gathering these scriptures and what have you, and I receive a phone call from my daughter, Lauren. She calls me and she's kind of, you know, there's a little excitement in her voice. And she's mentioning that we have a busted water inlet line in one of our bathrooms at home. She says there's water shooting out and it won't stop. And she needed to know how to shut off the water. She wanted to know how to turn off the water from coming in the home and what have you. Well, I'm gathering these verses to rejoice in the Lord and what have you. And I'm thinking, wow, I'm going to let everyone know, listen, let's step it up and rejoice in God. Things, life could be tough, sure, and you know, but let's rejoice. And so I get this call. But let me tell you what I heard when I received that call. First of all, Lauren, my little sweetie pips, is incredibly dear to me. She is my little sweetheart. She's my precious little girl. My one and only little girl. And so when I receive this call from Sweetie Pips, I hear my little darling girl screaming at the top of her lungs. I imagine blood, gunshots. I believe there's an attack taking place. I don't know if it's a person or a bear. I'm not sure. But my heart is going through these things, and my house, I think, is on fire. And I hear my little girl saying, "Daddy, rescue me." And I'm just caught off guard. But you know, I was able to remain calm. I think you can ask Lauren, but I did really try and make an extra effort because after all, I was in the middle of scriptures to rejoice. After I hung up the phone, I said, "Lord, I don't need this right now. Joe is sick and I just found out." So as I put the phone down, I do say though, you know what though? I need to rejoice in this, and it probably a little more later. But that was the scene as I'm gathering these verses, and some more verses in Galatians 2:20. What we have to rejoice in is incredible. The world can't understand. People that don't have Jesus Christ as Savior and their Lord can't understand how we can rejoice in this world. We have ISIS taking place, horrible things going on in our own neighborhoods, and we can rejoice. Well, they have to have a biblical understanding of what we mean by rejoicing. We're not rejoicing in the evil things, but we have God, our Savior. And in Galatians 2:20, it says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I live, I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." We have much to rejoice in. He gave himself for us. And many of you know how bad we were. And he still loved us. In Luke 10, verse 20, it says to rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. If you are a child of God, if you're surrendered to Jesus Christ, your name is written in heaven. And that's much to be joyful about, to rejoice. You might have degrees on your wall in your office. You may have accomplished major feats in your life. But nothing, anything printed and given to you in this world can't measure against your name being written in heaven. And we need to understand that and rejoice in this fact. A preacher put it this way, speaking about living a life and, well, not having an eternal perspective. He said, "It's rather tragic to live a whole life and have nothing of eternal value to show for your life." So if we are, figuratively speaking, right now on our deathbed, and we have an hour, and we look back, what did we do those last 5 years, 10, 15, 20, and on, as a believer? What did we do for the kingdom? What did we do to benefit eternally? in our lives following Christ, heaven, but in the lives around us. How did we invest the people that we love, to the strangers that we should love, the enemies that we love? But how tragic to live a whole life and have nothing to show of eternal value. The creator of this universe loves us. And I know I don't have to tell you that over and over that how great he is. I can, because the scriptures speak volumes on it. But you know. And unless, of course, we are too wrapped up in the earthly affairs. Or earthly circumstances, perhaps. Because if that's the case, we can really minimize and even remove, well, the Lord from our lives, but rejoicing in our walk. If we are caught up with the circumstances or the affairs of life. Now, Ecclesiastes, back to 11:9. Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood, and follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. You see it going one beautiful way, and then you're like, whoa, you hear the breaks, and wait a minute, what am I reading here? You see, I'm telling you, there's the scriptural or the spiritual of rejoicing. There's much to rejoice about in God. But also in this world, in this life, our lives, there's still much to rejoice about. And there's no problem, or there should be nothing wrong with rejoicing in the things that we do have when they're in its proper perspective, when God is first. If we have that understanding, there is absolutely nothing wrong with enjoying or rejoicing in the good things of life that you are appreciative of, if your eyes are on Christ and you have a balance. You see, the young person, speaking here of a young person, which it's not only for the young people. If you're a little older and you're thinking like, man, I wish you would talk to me, an old folk. Well, it's for us too, as I will continue. But for the young person, they should enjoy their youth. You young people, enjoy your youth. Don't rush your life. You see, when you're young, life, as I mentioned, opens up. And there's a lot of things that are become very attracting of the world. Wrong things and good things, normal things. But a lot of wrong things. And if you're rushing through life, you're going to go after the wrong things in life if the Lord isn't first. So we young people, you young people, should enjoy your youth. But also know this. We must be careful that the scriptures say that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. In other words, it's interwoven. In the original language, it's speaking of, it's not just there, it's interwoven into the heart. And it causes us to do things that aren't wise as a young person. But when we slow down and God is first, we can avoid the issues, the tough issues of life. One person I saw wrote this, speaking of a young person, and it goes across the board, even to us older guys and women. They see the roses, but do not discover the thorns until pierced by them. And so when we are enjoying our life or enjoying our young life, and for us, you know, hey, I don't know about many of you, but it's not just for the young person, this verse. So don't check out. Actually, check in. This principle is for all of us. I'm 48, I believe. Is that right? 48? 49 in a month, I think. So 49. But I feel like 25. On some days, I feel like 18. And sometimes I act like 12. Just ask my wife. But there's young youth in all of us. And there's things that we still gravitate to. We still do feel young in certain degrees or certain areas of our life. And we have to be prepared. We have to understand that, yes, we can. It's not just the young person that makes mistakes. It's us as well. While we are enjoying life, the comforts of life, the desires of life, of things or what have you, things can get really messed up. And we can make mistakes. We have to be people that are prepared to understand that, you know what, we can act much like what this scripture is speaking about, the young person. To rejoice in the Lord in your youth, of course, but also of the things that are in the world, but doing it carefully. If we rush, we might miss the important things in life. If we rush and we stop looking at the things that are important to us in life, we may miss the boat. We may miss the train on important issues of life. You know, if you're not focused, if you're not prepared, if you're not mature or wise enough, I guess, imagine this: if your house is on fire and you're able to perhaps grab something. Now, the prepared person, the mature person, the one that knows of what's important in life, is going to be able to run or quickly grab their valuables, things that are really valuable. The unprepared person, the person that hasn't had much, doesn't have much wisdom or the importance of life, they're going to run out probably with their best pair of slippers and leave all the important things behind that mean more. So we have to have that same understanding as we go through our Christian walk. There's many things that we can and should be enjoying in life, whether it's for you, whether it's traveling, whether it's sports, whether you have hobbies, you enjoy collecting cars or working on cars or home improvement or whatever it may be, we should and be able to enjoy these things. Because we are Christians doesn't mean that I can't enjoy that guitar. I mean, I want to buy a better one too, and I really love the sound. Well, no, now I'm seeing you know, selfish and what have you. If things are in perspective, we should and can enjoy the great things that are available to us in life. In Psalm 34, verse 7, it says, "Delight yourself in the Lord." That's key. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. That's having things in perspective. God's first. God should be, of course, first before the guitar, before the things that my traveling or whatever it is. He should be first in my heart as I do those things, if I choose to. Matthew 6:21 says this: "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." There your heart will be also. So, in enjoying these things of life that we get to appreciate, we need to be careful. So here we are in our walk, in our Christian walk, and we're rejoicing because, you know what? You do have a comfortable car. You know, you do have specific amenities in your home, and you enjoy them. And your goal is to get even more or better ones. But there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. As I mentioned, rejoicing in the Lord, knowing who He is, and serving Him, surrendered to Him. And then that allows us to have the right mindset so that we're not caught up in the things or the affairs or the circumstances or just the treasures of life. But if your treasure is the Lord, you will have balanced and healthy desires in life, regardless of what they are, if the Lord is truly your treasure. Turn to Mark 7:21. This is an important verse to understand. To understand this balance that we need to have. In Mark 7:21, Jesus is speaking. People are complaining because His disciples didn't ceremonially wash their hands correctly, and they're eating. And they're saying, oh, they're filthy, they didn't do this right, and what have you. And Jesus says it's not what defiles a man, what goes into him. He says here in 7:21, "For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery." Jesus goes on and He points out something, that there is something, that thing that's interwoven in the heart that we need to control, that we need to allow the Lord to move in and get those things out of our lives, is that He's saying that these things come out of our heart. And if the Lord is not first in our heart, our desires, the things that we do rejoice in life, will gradually become evil. They will become fruitless. It'll become the wrong priority in our life, and we'll be finding ourselves going down the wrong path, as we talked about heading in the path to the Lord, but making a wrong turn because we didn't keep the Lord first in our lives. And a gradual shift can take place. Some of you might be able to say, amen. You know, I've been there. or I've seen people, I've helped people that have done this. And it can happen because if we get our eyes off of the Lord, our eyes will just remain focused on the things that we desire or that we're rejoicing in, and we'll do it in a wrong way. It's important to know. In Galatians 6, verse 7, Paul writes, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." So we can't fool God. God needs to remain first. You know, we can fool one another and tell each other that, yeah, you know, praise the Lord, and God's first in my life, things are well, I'm doing great. But our true rejoicing is in the things of the world. And they may even be extremely of the world. Or we just may simply have our eyes off the Lord. And now the things that we're focusing on, which aren't bad in and of themselves, but our heart set is wrong. It's shifted. Romans 14:12 says this. It says, "So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God." You see, in this passage here of verse 9 of Ecclesiastes 11. Verse 9, he goes on to say, you know, during the young days of your young manhood, it says, "Follow the impulses of your heart and desires of your eyes, yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things." So he says in there, he says, "Yet know." So enjoy the things of life, but know something. In other words, enjoy the things of life, but guys, keep your balance in your hearts. Because you know what? If it gets all wrong, we're seeing here that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. If these things become our idols, beware. If you're enjoying them and God's first in your life, all is well. But there is that warning. So it's saying, enjoy the things. Life is young. There's so many things to enjoy in life. Enjoy them, but do it right. Because if you get out of balance, if you get messed up in your desires, you will be brought to judgment for all these things. And the scriptures say, we're not mocked. He is not mocked. And, you know, it's interesting. Turn to Genesis 18:23, or it might be on the board. You don't have to turn there. I just want to briefly mention something, that God will deal with us if we get things out of balance. If God slowly slips, nobody might see it, but if God slips out of first place in your life, everything takes a wrong understanding. We take a wrong understanding and we're rejoicing the wrong way and on the wrong things. And God will deal with us. God will deal with us. But you know, there's an important thing to understand about God is he's fair. He will deal right with us. And in Genesis 18, verse 23, in that area of scripture, we see that Abraham is having a discussion and he's hearing about Sodom and Gomorrah. And they're going to be judged. And they're going to be judged. And the conversation he hears is, should we tell Abraham what we're going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah? Because we're going to wipe them out. It's going to be wiped out because of their sin. It's just got out of control. And that's time for judgment. And our lives can be the same way. If we get the Lord out of his place and we're focused on the things of life and we're rejoicing on all the wrong things, we're setting ourselves up for clearly what the scriptures say, judgment. And what's a beautiful passage here is, it says in 23, Abraham came near and said, "Will you," in speaking to the Lord, "will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked?" There's a question mark. Wait a minute, Lord, will you actually do this? In 24, "Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you indeed sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of 50 righteous who are in it?" God, aren't you fair? This doesn't sound like you. In verse 25, "Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous and the wicked are treated alike. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth deal justly?" That's the beautiful verse right there. Our understanding of God should be will not God of all the earth deal justly? And the answer is yes. Yes, some versions say it this way. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? You are the judge of all the earth. Won't you do what is right? Absolutely. We can count on God judging rightly in a just manner. He will deal with us and we will get what we deserve in the sense of getting off track and putting our eyes on things other than the Lord, we will be judged for. So we have to have a balance in our walk, our Christian walk, to rejoice. We need that rejoicing to be balanced correctly. In that conversation, he says, yes, of course. And what about if there's 45? Yes. 40, 30, 10. And he goes down the list. Yes, 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 the Lord does. Because the Lord will deal right. It didn't seem right, but the Lord will deal right with his people. So, number one, in rejoicing, it has to be balanced correctly. There is absolutely nothing wrong with enjoying the things of life when God is number one. It will balance us from getting out of sync with God's will. Number two, in Ecclesiastes 11, verse 10, we see here it says, so, remove grief and anger from your heart and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. That second R is to remove things from our life. There's things that we can remove. There's things that I'll touch on right now that we can't remove, what it's kind of talking about as well in this passage. But there are things that we do need to remove from our lives in order to stay right with God. How can a young man keep his way pure? We studied that last time about meditating on his word, allowing him to direct us, following him with our whole heart. And how do we maintain it? Well, with these three keys that I'm giving you today. To rejoice and understand who God is, and of course to remove things from our lives that will cloud our understanding of who God is. We need, and we all do, need to remove things from our lives. And you know what? We know what things we need to remove from our lives. We know what's causing us, what's hindering our faith, what's hindering us from being the husband we need to be, the woman you need to be. We know. And we need to act on these things and remove things from our lives. To have a consistent walk with the Lord, along with rejoicing, is there's things that we need to clean out of our hearts. We need to remove. And we need to remove these things before it's too late. The spiritual things I'm speaking of first is the spiritual things that will hinder us from a relationship with God and that would keep us from creating a distance from God. From severing us from the Lord. We need to remove the things that will cause this. Have you ever done anything that just changed the complete direction of your day? And you just wish you could just change it? Anyone? No one, huh? Wow. I do that every day, I think. You got an honest person back there. Raise their hand. Listen. There, we can do something in our lives and we wish we could remove it, but it's too late. I said it. I did it. I acted that way. Or I didn't say it. Or I didn't act a certain way. And you want to remove something from our lives. And while we're going through our lives, our walk, there's things that you might want to do and you shouldn't. And you know you shouldn't. And you do them anyway. And after you do them, you wish you could just remove it when it's already too late because you've done it and you deal with the consequences. I was talking to the young people last Wednesday, I think it was, and I was talking along the lines of this verse and saying how when you're young, there's a lot of exciting things that you want to do, but a lot of those things you shouldn't do. I said, you know what? I love driving fast. And I said, but don't drive fast. It's not really that fun. It is fun. I'll be honest with you. And I said, if you're going to drive fast and what have you, go to a track. Go somewhere where it's off-road, where it's legal, and you're safe and taking all the precautions and what have you. But I remember before Christ, and my mom had this Plymouth, and it had a 340 engine, and it was just fast. It was a fast car, and I loved racing it everywhere I could go when I'd pick up my buddies, and I was a young guy, maybe 17. And we'd drive everywhere quick. And my other buddy had another car, his mom's car. And we'd always race and do crazy stuff. and it was wrong, and you know, we shouldn't have done it, and what have you. And I was telling the young people, don't ever do it. But I shared this, a small incident that took place, and I recall after school, I'm dropping off my buddies, and my other friend is kind of, we're caravanning or what have you. And I'm around some blocks down around from my place. I have one more guy to drop off who lives on my street too, actually. And so I'm driving up, and there's this, we live off of a street, much like it was Alamo, and then you have a little side street that we lived on. So you always hear the cars coming when they're coming, a motorcycle or whatever, exhaust, you can hear something different. Well, from way back, a mile back, my friend and I, we started to race. And we just were flooring it all as fast as that thing could go. And so I'm zooming up this 8th Street, and I'm going past it. Right when I zoom past my street, you know, there's my house and whatever, but I just zoom by, and we laugh, and yeah, he takes off, and then I turn, and I go home to drop off my buddies. As I turn the corner, and I'm coming up across my home, I look, and there's my mom standing on our lawn. She was gardening, I believe. And there was my neighbor across the street looking at me like, see, what happened is, when I'm racing up that street, they heard me coming. They heard cars zooming, and they're like, what in the world is going on? Vroom. And my mom sees her car going by, driven by her son. And so as I pull up to the house, I see my mom, and she was like this. I mean, at least I remember it that way in my heart. Like, I am in trouble. I told the guys, I go, hey, I don't think I'm going to have the car tonight. And I regretted it. It wasn't a crash this time, but it wasn't anything major. But it was, I was telling the young people, I did something because it was fun. I enjoyed it. I had a blast. My buddies were all cheering and what have you. But I regretted it. My neighbor across the street was looking at me like, whoa, Steve, you blew it this time. And I didn't have the car that evening. But that's a small thing. It's a small thing, but it could have been terrible. I could have wiped out that car. I could have killed someone crossing the crosswalk where I do live. I could have destroyed or killed the guys that were with me. It was extremely foolish, but it was incredibly fun at the time. And when you have that understanding of life is fleeting, and we have to understand the things that we rejoice in and the things that we shouldn't, or the things of life that we should do and we shouldn't do, it helps give us a perspective and it keeps us safe. But here he's saying to remove things from your life, put them away. And I bring up this because there's things that we could do that can change the direction of more than our evening and not having a car for the weekend. But it could change your life for an entire week. It could be a relationship issue where now you and your friend or your wife are trying to, you know, reconcile over a week's time, maybe a year. Maybe you've done something that has changed and altered your direction in life. And so we need to understand that there's things in our lives that we need to remove and remove them now so that it's only being caught zooming down the street as opposed to continuing zooming and zooming until I either kill someone or myself. And we have to look at our lives and begin to remove those things that will destroy us, that will hinder us. Jesus says in Matthew 5:29, remember this, he speaks about if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you, for it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than your whole body to be thrown in hell. If your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it from you, for it is better for you to lose one of your parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. And that's an incredible picture. He's speaking of usually the stronger eye, the right hand, the stronger hand. But he's not only giving you the picture of figuratively of cutting it off, but he's also saying, get it away from you. In other words, remove things from your life. Remove things from your life. I need to remove this from my life. But not remove it and just place it here. Or there, I'm going to take that. Now it's not in my life. I want to get it. And I want to remove it. And I want to throw it from me. I want to get away from it. That's the kind of the removing that we're talking about that guards us in our Christian walk. Removing things and throwing them away from us. Proverbs 28:13 says, he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. You see, there's a process there. If you conceal those, you're not going to prosper. You're not right with God. Your walk is all messed up. You're suffering in your relationships. Maybe in the workplace. You're not the best worker because God isn't first. And when you have sin in our lives, it just messes up our lives and we create all types of drama that didn't need to be there, that we really don't want. I saw this morning in a study Bible, it said this. It says, we get old too soon and smart too late. And it's so true because, you know, there's so many things that we're learning and we will continue to learn in our lives the day we die. Many of you who are husbands, us husbands, we will be learning how to love our wives as Christ loved the church to the day we die. Because that's impossible to love as Christ did, but that's our goal. And we're even at older age, we do the same mistakes. Or we learn something new about our wives. Sometimes we don't learn something new about our lives till years into the marriage. And oftentimes it's because we weren't paying attention. And you weren't living with them in an understanding way. So we need to rejoice in who He is. And it's okay to rejoice in the things of the comforts of life if done properly and balanced correctly. And we need to, by all means, remove things from our lives that will destroy us, that will keep us from growing in our walks with the Lord. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, if you're there, look at that verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. It says this. And this is our third R, to remember God. It says, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. And we'll stop right here. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember the Lord in everything, guys, in everything. Now, you might not be a young guy or woman or young lady or what have you, but you know what? Life is fleeting. And I said, I'm 48, 49, and I can feel like 25 on a good day. I'll try and act like it too. It doesn't work, but I could feel it, right? We're allowed to feel that way. And even in that, we have to be careful in how we live. But remember also our Creator in the days of our youth. While you're breathing, while you're going into work, while you're in church, when you're talking with buddies, while you're hanging out, wherever, whatever and however, is remember God in everything. Last week, we were up with the high schoolers and Kyler was leading worship and he, Kyler will, when he leads worship in between, he'll say things to the young people. And Kyler's a young man himself. And he's speaking to life, things of life, into these young people. And I hear these things and I think, well, that's cool. I wish I would have thought of that. But he's a young guy, so he's probably thinking a little different. But he was encouraging the high school guys, a group of young people, to keep the Lord in everything, to remember God in everything. And it so happened I was going to share this verse with them. And from coming from Kyler, it probably makes a lot of sense. Here's this young guy telling young people to remember God and keep Him in everything. I mean, to me, it probably would come across as, you know, some old guy trying to keep you from having fun. But here, Kyler is encouraging them, the young people. So I'm going to take this opportunity as a old person to encourage us old people to remember God in everything. You see, if you're dealing with someone who has experience in something, whatever age, usually the older, the better in a certain profession, let's say, you're going to sit and listen to what they've learned throughout the years in their career, in that profession. You want to know the things they've learned, the shortcuts, the things, what to avoid, a better way to do things. You know, but a lot of times, young people, young believers, even us old guys, when we hear someone that maybe has gone through some rough times in life, or has seen rough times and they know what can fix it, we don't really pay attention and we don't listen. But we need to remember God in everything. Ecclesiastes verse 1 continues. It says, remember also the Creator in your days of your youth before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them. Oh, what's going on here? Our evil days are coming. For some of us, the evil days have arrived. And the evil days we're talking about here is not so much sin as in evil. It's speaking of the evilness of old age. Because when we get older, there's a lot of evil type things that take place of our bodies. And there's a lot of things that we can no longer do. And we think, man, I just can't do that anymore. I can't do this anymore. You know, yesterday when that pipe thing, that hose, inlet hose busted, I came home and I was trying to fix something. And I had to remove the vanity. Vanity. Imagine that. Ecclesiastes. The vanity, the little bottom part of it. And I was trying to move it and what have you. So I'm like, okay, this isn't going to work. My back is already hurting, bending over, looking at it. So I go, I get a flashlight, screwdriver, all the things I need, and a little stool so I can sit down and be comfortable. Back in the old days, I would have just got on my knees and what have you, but it was a little more effort. And I thought, man, the evil days are here. And I'm trying to fix this thing, and yeah, sure enough, you deal with these things. But the evilness of old age is what we're talking about here. While you're young, while you're able to serve in ministry, serve. While you're able to do things for the Lord, do them. Because when we get older, they will be much more limited. As we get older, we will maybe be married, and now you have less time. Then you'll have children, and then maybe more children, and now you're preoccupied, and you don't have that time for the Lord as much. But our bodies, speaking of getting our old age, some more than others, but our bodies do ache. We get old, we start to, our joints begin to squeak and pop, And you know, you get used to it after a while. When I was young, and like many of us, I'd wake up and I ate cereal that did a snap, crackle, and pop. Now I wake up and I snap, crackle, and pop. And you know what I'm talking about. You get up and you're cracking, you're popping, and you're like, wow, there's a new one. And you get all these weird little creaks and stuff. So in this old age that he's talking about, take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. We can always use volunteers for events. The Lord needs workers, and he will use you. And while these days are, let's say, good, and you're able-bodied, take advantage of them. Before we do become older physically, and that evilness sets in, or just the things of life take place, and you become older, and now you're preoccupied, and you don't have the time. So we need to remember God while we can, throughout our lives, but serve him to the capacity that we're able to right now. And that goes a long way. We need to serve him now in your youth, while you are even younger people, maybe not so young, but mission trips and street witnessing. Some people are like, well, you know, I can only stand so long and what have you. That's fine. It's understandable. Maybe there's another ministry because, hey, after all, it is tough to stand for a long time for some people or to find time for something because of your life. Or maybe while you're young and somebody in the fellowship is moving and we need some young people to help and move some things, you know, step up and help out. It's always a blessing when someone's moving and everyone's there to help. By the way, I'm moving this weekend, so if anybody is available, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I just thought I'd throw that in there. But really, take advantage of it. It's an opportunity to bless people, to serve God's people. And while you're young, take advantage of it. We are created to rejoice, to have fun in life. Because we're believers doesn't mean like, oh, I can't have fun now and all that. You know what? Then your eyes are focused on the wrong things and chalking it up as fun. Driving fast through residential streets may have seemed fun, but it's dangerous and wrong and illegal. So I have to realize that's wrong. I can't look at things that way. The Lord created us and we're to rejoice in him, to enjoy the things of life, to have fun. And we're also to remove things from our lives, to continually remove things, repent, turn from sin, to live right in order to avoid evil. And we're created to remember God, or in other words, serve God to whatever capacity you're able. Those three R's today: to rejoice, or to enjoy life, to remove, to remember God, to remove things from your life, to remember God. Those things we need to practice regularly. That needs to be who we are. Because, you know, if we do not remove things from our lives, if we don't remember God in everything, if we're rejoicing about the wrong things, we will be able, and unfortunately, add another R to this lesson. And that would be regret. Because you will do things or you will not do things that you will regret. And we need to avoid that and to keep it at those three so that we have a walk that pleases God, that we have a walk that blesses his people, and we have a walk that is just a light on a hill, on a lamp, a light on a lampstand, on a table for the world to see who Jesus Christ is. And I'll share these last three verses with you. We need to start, perhaps today you need to start removing things. Maybe you've never removed anything and the Lord isn't your Savior today. We need to remove these things, turn from sin, repent from the sin that we're involved in, the things that separate us from God, the things that have us in bondage and are leading us to hell. We need to separate and remove those bondages. We need to remove those things from our lives. We need to do it today. The Bible says that to seek the Lord while he may be found. You're breathing, you're alive today. He may be found. Proverbs 27:1 says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Today is the day to rejoice. Today is the day to remove sin from your lives and receive Jesus as Savior. Tomorrow may not arrive. The Bible says in Proverbs 1:18, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Start today. Don't procrastinate. So you too can rejoice and have a biblical, supernatural understanding of what it means to rejoice in God, to know who he is, how to serve him. Let's bow our hearts and seek the Lord. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your scriptures. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you did on the cross. I ask, Lord, that today that the words that we have read from your holy scriptures, that they would just resonate. Lord, that they would just have an impact in our hearts, our lives. Lord, right now I pray for anyone who doesn't understand who you are, can't rejoice because they don't have a relationship with you, and they can't enjoy that supernatural rejoicing. I pray, Lord, that they would right now begin by removing the things in their lives that you know, that they know separate them from you, a relationship with you, a relationship that gives them eternal life. Lord, I pray that right now, today, people would remove things. They would renounce the things of the world that they are holding on to and receive you as Savior. Lord, I also pray for everyone that is trusting you, Lord, that they would take these three of many things that we can talk about, these R's, the rejoice, to remember you, to remove things from our lives. Lord, that we would take it serious, that we would understand that if we're practicing these biblically, we will avoid regret. We will avoid making decisions, making moves that are away from you, things that will destroy our lives, hurt people around us, and hurt, of course, and break your heart. Lord, I pray that today we will understand that we have you, the creator of the universe, who has compassion on us, and we can rejoice in salvation. Lord, I pray that we would remember you far beyond we leave this place today. That people will leave here and remember you in every decision they make, every word that comes out of their mouth, every action that they have to take, whether it's a tough one or a loving one, Lord, that they would remember you and they would continually remove the things that are destroying our relationship with you, that are hindering our walks, that are keeping us from being the men, the women, the husbands, wives that you called us to be. Lord, I pray that we would be real about you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.